Matthew chapter number 26 tonight. While you're finding your place, don't forget that Sunday is I Love My Church Sunday, and we'll make a big deal about the church and thankful for this place the Lord has provided for us to come and be a part of. And then in accordance with that, we'll begin on Sunday receiving special offerings for the revival we have with Brother Voles, March the 30th through April the 2nd. And we want to try to get ahead of that meeting approaching and cover the expenses of that so that we can take good care of the man of God. Appreciate Brother Keith being willing to come. And we had to work through some things to get that scheduled on his end and with our calendar. And so we're thankful that he's willing to come, give us that time. And we want to really honor the man of God, take good care of them, and see if the Lord will bless during those days. Believe the Lord will, and I trust that you'll be praying about that meeting, that the Lord will help us. Matthew 26, we'll spend a moment with you in the Word of God tonight, and I'm going to try to purposefully leave us some good time to be able to pray here in just a little bit before we leave tonight on the altar together, bear our burdens to the Lord, shoulder those with one another, and we'll try to leave some good time for that here in a moment. Matthew 26, familiar verses. I want to deal with a certain subject tonight, so bear with me as we try to lay it out. Begin reading in verse 36. The Bible said, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be," notice this phrase, "to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them," this is what the Lord said, "Listen, my soul is exceeding sorrowful." He's going to describe what sorrow he's under in this next phrase. He said, "Even unto death, tarry ye here and watch with me." And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, "What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Does that not sum up a lot of our desire to be spiritual in these hours we're living in? The spirit is willing, but do we not find the flesh so oftentimes is weak? We got to learn to deal with that. And as a part of our spiritual life as being a disciple, the Bible said, verse 42, "He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words." And we'll leave off our reading there tonight. You can be seated. Our Heavenly Father, please help us tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Lord, we make our prayer and our confession that without you we can do nothing. Lord, we can't preach, we can't glean any truth, Lord, apart from you shining the light to us in the Spirit of the Lord, making application, Lord, from this text and the truth that you've laid upon our heart for this evening. And so I pray this evening all God's children would be encouraged and exhorted, challenge tonight, Lord, about maybe what they're going through, and Lord, about how to handle that, and Lord, just ultimately, as we'll see tonight, to allow our God to have his perfect will and way in our life. Lord, if you'd help us tonight, we'd be grateful here, and we'd be grateful in eternity, Lord, as we look back over all the ways that our God helped us in this life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. This familiar text brings us to the scene of the agony of Christ in this place we know as the Garden of Gethsemane. As we read about it in verse number 36, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. Here he is said to be, as we pointed out in our reading, to be sorrowful and very heavy. Verse number 37 said, in verse 38, Jesus testified about himself to the disciples when he said that his soul was exceeding sorrowful even unto death. And so this is not an easy time in the life of the Lord Jesus. There are no crowds singing his blessing and his praises. There are not multitudes that are thronging him and great victory and miracles being poured out from him upon those that are in need. This is an hour where the multitudes have walked away and the Lord is left with just a few of his disciples in this hour. In fact, when this hour is over, he will have been betrayed. He will have been forsaken by all of his disciples. And in the darkness of this hour of his life, the Lord is going to be reduced, literally, it would seem like, from the human eye to nothingness. It's in the hours that are to come, he'll lay down his life upon Calvary and upon an old rugged cross, having been nailed there to crown of thorns platted in his head, and being crucified. There he will die, a ransom for my sin and for yours. And it all begins in this scene of the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane tonight is really what we want to focus on, means the oil press. The oil press and was the place that the olives, this being a place set on the hillside of the Mount of Olives, the olives would be brought after harvest to be pressed and to be crushed for the production of oil that would be used there in the land of Israel. How fitting for Christ to be in such a place in this hour when his soul was being pressed and crushed to produce the very oil of our salvation. The Lord, make no mistake about it, is in Gethsemane on purpose. The place of the olive and the place of the press, the place where that olive would be broke down all the way down. Nothing being wasted, we'll see in the end of the message tonight. Nothing being left untouched. Nothing being cast away and lost. It would all be brought down and crushed and pressed, little by little, producing that was so vital to the economy of Israel, so vital to the livelihood. It was life-sustaining oil that would be produced there in Gethsemane for all the region that was around. How fitting that Christ in his dying hours would be brought to Gethsemane there to be pressed so that you and I and all of mankind and all the world could know the oil of salvation and redemption that would be brought to you and I. It's interesting, we'll see it in a moment, that this pressing in Gethsemane, it involved a threefold process that would be wrought upon that olive. Brother Tim, in the pressing and that threefold process, I see the Lord in Gethsemane. What does the Bible say? That he prayed one time, he prayed two times, and he prayed three times. Each time his soul is being pressed a little more, and a little more, and a little more. And just like they would press that olive in Gethsemane, harvested from the hillside of the Mount of Olives, my friend would bring it through that threefold process to get all they could out of it. So the Savior prayed three times, pressed three times in his soul, so great that Luke would testify. Brother Jack, we know that when he was done, it would be as though his pores of his body sweated, the Bible said, as it were great drops of blood. You say, what is going on? Something more than a physical transaction. There was something spiritual going on in Gethsemane as Christ is being pressed and laying down his all, willing to take the bitter cup, willing to take the cross, willing to endure all the shame and all the sin
No, the agony of Calvary, he's going to do that even beginning in Gethsemane, being pressed and crushed again to produce the salvation that you and I would need. It would be vital for our ransom, vital for our redemption, vital for our problem of sin. Jesus in Gethsemane, in the darkest hour of his life, is willing, my friend, to be crushed and pressed there in the press of Gethsemane. Gethsemane tonight, we could preach the gospel and all that is typed out and applied in Gethsemane in that way. But Gethsemane tonight is not only a vital stop in our Lord's journey to fulfill the plan of redemption, but I believe Gethsemane also is a place that our Lord teaches you and I about facing our own pressing seasons of our own life's journey. And the fact of the matter is, there are times we feel pressed in our life. The Apostle Paul, in speaking about the things he encountered in his journey, would speak about being pressed out of measure. And he would encounter difficulties and hardships that would weigh against his body and against his mind and against his soul and against his spirit. And times where life would be inconvenient, that storms he would face, and imprisonments and betrayals and stonings and hardships that he wouldn't even begin to put in words. And he said these were times that we felt like we were pressed beyond measure. Times we felt like we couldn't go on. Times where we felt like we was being weighed down. Times where we were sorrowful and very heavy, exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Paul knew what it was, and if you're saved tonight, listen, salvation doesn't take the pressings of life away. In fact, there's going to be maybe greater pressings that take place in our life, for we're tapped into something that is spiritual and the plan of God and the will of God being worked out in our life. Oftentimes mean we got to have, Brother Larry, Gethsemane experiences. Everything's not going to be victories, and everything's not going to be miracles, and everything's not going to be just growing things and thriving things in our life. Jesus and every disciple that he has is going to have to go through Gethsemane's scenes and pressing circumstances in our life. And Jesus going through it is teaching you and I about how to face these seasons in our own life. Several things I point out, and it'll make our way to what we want to deal with tonight. But I think in Christ facing Gethsemane, teaching you and I about our own seasons, I would note this evening the furtherance of his path. The furtherance of his path. Look in verse number 39. Here as he enters into Gethsemane, he describes the pressing of his soul. He describes the oil press that is going on internally within him. The Bible said first thing about that he did and that he teaches is that he went a little further. He did not quit when he came to Gethsemane. When things began to be very heavy and things began to be sorrowful, things began to weigh upon him even unto the point of death, the Bible said that he went a little further. In times of pressing, know this evening, you don't have to go great distances for God. These are not times that you've got to accomplish great things and be great things. And sometimes the Lord will let us have a Gethsemane experience where all we can do is just go a little further. In fact, we understand that he didn't stop. He didn't stop short of where he was intended to do in this time. But he went a little further. Luke describes just exactly how far he went. Now listen, Jesus in his earthly ministry, in the last 3.5 years, what has he done? Brother Tim, he's walked from the north boundary of Israel to the south boundary of Israel. He's crossed it from east to west. He's, my friend, been on great journeys and crossed great distances. He's even gone to the Gentile nations north of Israel and to the east of Israel. He's been busy spanning great distances and going great journeys in his earthly ministry. But now he's in Gethsemane. And the Bible said, here's what Luke said, this is all the further he could go. It's just as far as you could cast a stone. It wasn't, Brother Charlie, great distances from the north to the south. Hey, man, you ever feel like you're making great strides with the Lord? And then, my friend, you're just in a great journey, doing great things, seeing great victories. And my friend, just it's miracle and victory one after another. And then there are times we get in Gethsemane times where, my friend, we're tempted to stop and we're tempted to sit down and we're tempted to think that because we can't do something great that we can't do anything at all. But the Lord teaches you and I, and it's in these Gethsemane times that, hey, man, we can go a little further. We can live on just one step at a time. We don't count it mile by mile. We count it step by step. And it may be in those times that there's a greater display of your faith than when, my friend, you're seeing the milestones, the mile markers be crossed, my friend, minute by minute. And if you learn in Gethsemane, though I can't go far, oh, I feel like I'm going to die. If I just put one foot in front of the other and go a little further, maybe God and do great things in this Gethsemane experience in my life. Number two, not only the furtherance of his path, but I note the abundance of his prayer in Gethsemane. The Bible said the Lord prayed. And he didn't just pray one time, Brother Mike. The Bible said he prayed a second time. And then he prayed again the third time. And the Lord here, the Lord listened and said that he prayed three times in the Gethsemane experience for at least an hour. He would ask his disciples, what? And you not watch with me 1 hour? And so he prays for at least an hour three times. I don't know if that's an hour over three times of praying or it's 3 hours over three times of praying. But listen, the point is simply this. He made a big deal about prayer while he was in Gethsemane. The record of what he prayed, I noted this, Brother Mark, the record of what he prayed was not extravagant. There's not some great extravagant prayer that is prayed. I understand it's deep. I understand the spiritual significance of what he prayed. But really, when you boil it down as far as what is recorded, it's a rather simple prayer. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Let me tell you, in Gethsemane, you don't need extravagant prayer. You just need to pray. Hey, man, it's not in Gethsemane. It's not a time, my friend, to be impressive in how you pray and what you say. It's a time, hey, man, to bear your soul to Almighty God and tell him what's on your heart and what you're going through and what you need from him in that hour. And my friend, prayers that bring you to a submission of the will of God. Listen, from a heart that was heavy and from a soul that was in agony, what did he do? He kept on praying to his Father. And tonight, if you're in a Gethsemane experience, hey man, you may feel like, man, I can't pray. I don't feel like I can even bust through the clouds and seem to be brass. My friend, don't you quit praying yet. Hey man, even if it feels like no one else is praying with you and you're all alone in prayer, hey man, you keep pouring your heart out to God. Hey man, keep telling him what you need. Hey man, keep bearing your soul and your burden and your heaviness and your sorrow to the Lord. Hey man, and in agony and heaviness, hey man, understand it's there in Gethsemane. at the Father's ear was attentive to the prayer of his son. And the ear of the Father is going to be attentive to your need tonight. Amen. Make an abundance of prayer. Amen. It don't have to be extravagant. It don't have to impress anybody. Amen. All you got to do is gain the ear and the attention of the Heavenly Father tonight. Only by prayer can God's children make it through the press. That's the only way we're going to make it. I read in Luke 22:43, even this afternoon, that it was while, Brother Larry, it was while he prayed in Gethsemane, that the Bible said an angel came and appeared unto him and strengthened him. In other words, here's what I want you to get a hold of tonight. It was while he prayed in this press and God sent strength to him from heaven. And tonight, is that not what we need in these pressing hours that we're in? We don't need strength from a babe. And we don't need strength from a mortal man. And we don't need strength, my friend, from all the things the world emphasizes as strengths and areas of power and areas where there are breakthroughs as far as mortal man is concerned. But if you're in the press tonight, if you're in the press of Gethsemane, what you desperately need is the strength that comes from heaven. And that strength will only be accessed and brought to you and made available to you when you make an abundance of prayer in Gethsemane. It's pretty good preaching tonight. The abundance of his prayer. And so don't pray a little, pray as much as you can. Amen. Pray your way through Gethsemane. And you say, preacher, it's awful dark. It's awful heavy. I feel like I'm dead. And preacher, it looks, as far as I can see, that it's going to get worse. That there's a cross that must be borne in this darkness. But my friend, it'll be prayer that brings strength, that will sustain you. And though, my friend, every friend you have fails to pray for you, if you'll make your prayer to God, God will hear it, and God will strengthen you, and God will help you, and God will see you through all the way. Amen. To your resurrection, it is all predicated on the abundance of prayer from the life of Jesus. Amen. The furtherance of his path and the abundance of his prayer. Notice with me tonight the acceptance of his purpose. This is where I'll give you my thought tonight, but really in Gethsemane, in this place of the press, Jesus illustrates to us, Brother Bob, that in such a press, in such a place, we must be yielded to the plan of God and know that the press has a purpose. Tonight, Gethsemane served a purpose when we consider the Lord in this place and his prayer and even the record of the communion that we have that he had with his Father. We see the Savior, the Son of God, Jesus, our Lord in this time in the press, teaching us what we're to do in the press, and that is to be accepting of the purpose from which God has us here. May I say tonight, the press always has a purpose. And there's a purpose for every Gethsemane experience of your life. It is not pointless. I'll show you in a moment, it is not a wasted experience. If you come to the conclusion that Christ did, and some have said, well, Jesus is trying to find another way in Gethsemane. He is trying to get out of the cross. He doesn't want to drink the cup. And I understand this evening on the surface that maybe I can see where men would think that. But our Savior, it had already been said of him even prior to Gethsemane, Luke said, that the Lord set his face toward Golgotha, toward Calvary, and toward the cross as it were a flint. He wasn't looking to get out. He knew the plan of God for his life. I think the Lord, if anything, in Gethsemane, the prayer that he prays, he shows us that in our humanity, that there must be, even though it be a wrestling, and there must be a conclusion in our life whereby we become accepting of the purpose of Almighty God, that we say, Lord, if the press is in the will of God, then I will go through the press. Amen. Nevertheless, not as I will. I don't want to go through the press. Amen. I've said it. I've heard others say it. Amen. I've met it in others. Amen. Amen. We don't like pain. We don't want to go through those painful pressures of life. But it's there that, and if we're going to make it, our Savior is teaching you and that, we must come to the conclusion whereby we yield ourselves to say, not my will, but thine be done. Why? Because there is a purpose in the press. And that's what I want to preach to you for just a moment tonight, on the purpose of the press. The purpose of the press, the olive press in Gethsemane, as I've already mentioned in the introduction, was done in a threefold process. In each process, there was a purpose. There was something being done. There was something being yielded by and a harvested olive, Brother Jack, being brought and laid in the press, and the weight of that press crushing it, was going to yield four things that had a purpose to, amen, those people in that culture. May I say tonight, the press that Christ went through and the presses that you and I, these Gethsemane experiences, the Lord is working His process whereby He has a purpose in mind to yield something out of our life through those difficult days. There is purpose in the press. The purpose of the press. Consider with me tonight, and I'll illustrate it through this process that would have been used in the days of Christ. Number one, consider this purpose in mind. It is for the sacredness of our worship. The sacredness of our worship. The initial pressing of the olive was considered to produce the purest oil. The first crushing of the olive would bring forth that would be counted. We would call it in our day, and they would call it essentially in their day, that extra virgin olive oil. It is that was produced by the first pressing of that olive. These things that, and this purest oil that would be produced would be used in the house of God to fuel the lamps, to sanctify the servants of God, and it would be used to anoint the vessels that would be used in the service and in the house of God for the worship of the name of Jehovah. It was there through this first pressing of the olive and the oil that it would yield. Then, my friend, that the sacredness of the worship, then it would be counted, my friend, most pure and most fitting in the house of God, would be yielded. I thought about in the life of Jesus. In fact, just a short time prior to the text where the Lord would go into Gethsemane, this is already illustrated. When Mary Magdalene came in the house of Simon, in which Christ was eating supper, and she came behind him and got down at his feet, and there broke open the alabaster box. She broke it open and poured out the ointment and the perfume and anointed the feet of the Lord Jesus in great worship. Now, my friend, there were those that watched this take place that day, and they said, what a waste. This could have been sold and given unto the poor. And Jesus rebuked them, saying, you don't know what you're saying. For what she has done, she has done in light of my bearing. She's done in light of what I'm going to do. And he began to explain to them that this was not a waste. This was her worship of Almighty God. That worship demanded a breaking. It demanded something being burst open. It demanded, my friend, that it was most valuable being broken and poured out before Almighty God. Do you understand tonight that this first pressing in the garden and in the oil press speaks in our own lives of making our worship of God sacred and holy and fitting for such a God that we worship tonight? There's something about going through those pressing times of life. If we'll have a furtherance in our path, and we'll have an abundance of prayer, and we'll have acceptance of God's purpose, then when we come through that, and Brother Gerald, our worship is more fervent and pure and fitting for God than it would have been had God not thrust us into a Gethsemane experience. And the way that we worship God is oftentimes, my friend, made more sacred by way of the hardship. It's through the hardship God purifies our worship. So when it's poured back out to God, amen, it's something that is meaningful. It's something that is sacred. It's something that goes beyond the casual and beyond the normal and beyond the contemporary and beyond the emotional. Is that? And there is within something that my friend is anointed, and something that God favors, and something that God accepts, and something that the Lord finds to be very beautiful. If you never had a Gethsemane experience, you'd lose sight. May I back up and say, if you never had a Gethsemane experience, or you do not go through the Gethsemane experience allowing God to work His process out, my friend, you'll never know. You'll lose the sacredness of really what it means to worship God. Tell you what, hard times. Everybody okay? Are y'all alive? I'm trying to help us. Amen. I'm doing the best I can, Gerald. Amen. If you never had a pressing time in your life, you'd never know how dear and precious the Lord really is. Some of the greatest worship of the Bible, Sam, came out of difficult times. Job lost it all and was brought in the press, and it's from the press what is squeezed out of it. Amen. The Lord give and the Lord taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I came in the world with nothing. I'll leave this world with nothing. But the Lord's name is still to be glorified. Amen. Where did that come from? It came from him going through a pressing time in his life. What about Hannah in the Old Testament? A barren womb and an adversary, a provoker, a man that was railing against her. And in that pressing time of her life, she's in the house of God, and she's praying and she's seeking the face of God, and she pours her heart out to the Lord and begins to magnify the Lord in a time of being pressed. You see the press. Amen. When she finally submitted to the will of God and poured her heart out to the Lord, that press just produced the purest form of worship a man or woman can have. When we're in the press, what do? We often murmur and complain and gripe and grumble and, God, get me out of this. I understand all that. I'm not getting on you. That's how I pray. Amen. You say, I don't pray that way. I just embrace it all with faith. Well, you pray for me and for probably 99% of the rest of us in the building. I don't like the press. There's something about yielding to that purpose that God in those times squeezes you in your life. And what comes out is worship to Almighty God. Number two, the purpose in mind for the press not only teaches us something about the sacredness of our worship, but it has in mind to teach us something about the usefulness of our work. It's interesting when you study this process out in the second pressing of the olive, the same olive having been pressed the first time. It's going to be pressed again. By the way, hey man, mark it down. There'll be multiple Gethsemane experiences in your life. I wish I could tell you you'd never have any. I wish I could tell you you'd only have to deal with one. The fact of the matter is that same olive, after being placed in the press and crushed and bled and oiled out, is now going to be crushed and pressed again. How this involved placing that olive that had initially been crushed into a burlap bag. They would then add more weights, Brother Jerry, to that press. They put more weight on it, and they would stick that burlap bag of olives into that press with more weight upon it, and they would run it through the press again. Now, the oil from this second pressing was counted to be suitable for cooking, for fuel, and for medicinal purposes. It wasn't counted to be that it came from the first press, to be sacred and extra virgin oil that would be appropriate and fitting in the place of worship. But this served a purpose. This is where they would receive that oil for cooking and for fuel to burn in their own house and in the city. And from this oil would come medicinal purposes that would be essential to their health and their strength and their ability to recover from being wounded. And it was from this press, this second phase and purpose in the press. And this speaks to me tonight of the press in our lives, making us useful in the work of God to those that are around us. You know why God pushes us and leads us into Gethsemane? It is so that, my friend, He can break us down to make us useful to other people along the way. The fact of the matter is, we're not islands unto ourselves. We don't live our lives. We're not supposed to anyway. To live our lives isolated and separated. We're a part of the family of God. We're a part of a holy community. And oftentimes it's God's purpose to put us in a press so that we can become useful in our work among the ministry of God. There are things God has put me in. I had to learn to accept. I had to learn to worship Him through. And then after, and there are times that He's put me through it again. And I have learned that in those pressing times of life, that God has a purpose whereby He'll bring you through the press and out of the press so that you can sit down and help somebody that's been wounded, so that you can feed spiritual truth as somebody that's hungry in the way, so that, my friend, you can be a light, amen, to some sinner that's in darkness. The fact of the matter is, you'll only be as useful as you are as you yield yourself to the divine process of God in that purpose for which He brought you into the press. Amen. You'll be useless without a Gethsemane experience. I believe that's right. Number three, I'm done. Amen. Notice with me, this matter of the threefold process not only teaches us about the sacredness of our worship, the usefulness of our work, but it teaches us something about the cleanliness of our washing. The third and final process of the press, they would take that burlap bag out. They would add now, Brother Larry, even more weight and more burden upon that press. They're piling it up. It's heavier than it's ever been. They would then take that had initially been pressed and that had been pressed again. They would throw that burlap bag down in there and begin to run that wheel in that press over that bag one more time. Now this press here in this third phase and process, we find that the olives would be reduced all the way down to a pulp in which you would begin to squeeze out of the burlap bag And this would not be used in the house of God. This would not be sacred for worship. This would not be useful necessarily even at the house. But this pulp and the oil that would come from it would be used to make last soap for cleansing. And so we find there is a process here, a purpose in the process of the press, whereby the Lord is going to cleanse our way, and to cleanse our heart, and to cleanse our mind, and to bring our life through a purity, whereby cleanliness and holiness and righteousness is washed over us so that we can be clean. Amen. Can I tell you this tonight? Amen. The pressing times of Gethsemane seasons of life are always going to be designed of God. Amen. When you come through those, it's not the will of God you come out dirtier. It's not the will of God that you come out on the other side. My friend, as dirty as when you entered in. But it's through that press that the Lord is providing what you need for your cleansing. So that when you come out, what did Job said? He said, when I'm tried, he said, then I'll come forth as gold. Amen. There's something about that tried that purifies our life, that cleanses our life, and causes us to draw near to that washing of the water, the Word of God, and the washing of the blood of Christ over our soul, and the washing of that regeneration power over our mind, cleansing the way we think, cleansing the direction of our life, washing us from what we've been. Amen. It's there in the press. We're reminded that we're nothing but weak and wicked and sinful, and we're nothing but dust and a wretched man. How we cry with the Apostle Paul that I am, amen, who shall deliver me from the body of this death. And the Lord, you know what He does to deliver us? Amen. He put us in the press. Amen. To put us in there and in there. With Jesus we fed. We need for our cleansing. That when we're done and God's purpose is worked in our life, we come out on the other side a little wider than we were. And I say this evening, that'll make you thankful for every press you've ever been through. Amen. You're not wasting your press, are you? You're not wasting your Gethsemane, are you? Amen. There's something there for our own lives about the cleanliness of our washing. I'm done with a concluding thought. Once these three steps were done, the initial pressing, that oil being counted pure and vital to the worship that would take place in the house of God, the second pressing in the burlap bag that would yield forth an oil that would be useful in daily task and work among the people that would live in those communities. And the third pressing in that burlap bag is it would be finally reduced down to pulp. What I want you to understand, after these three phases of the press, the olive would have nothing left to give. Nothing left to give, but the process and purpose of this press, listen, literally nothing about that olive having been harvested, that Brother L, nothing in that olive would be wasted. Nothing's left, but my point is nothing is wasted. Amen. The press takes everything the olive had to offer and makes it useful. Amen. Our Gethsemane seasons are never wasted times, provided we allow the will and divine purposes of God to be accomplished in our life. You say, preacher, why doesn't God just let every day be miracles and walking mile after mile in victory? Why does God allow pressing times in Gethsemane's in our life? It is because the Lord wants to take our life and use every bit of it for His honor and His glory. I wrote this concluding sentence down. The Lord will get all He can out of His children's lives. When you go into a Gethsemane experience, listen, Lord is going to break everything you are down. Take everything you are so he can use it for his honor and glory.
Amen.
He wastes nothing. He wastes nothing. The Lord, now listen, I have wasted some times. I wish I could go back and redo. Here's what I'm thankful for. When I waste those Gethsemane times, here's what I've learned, Brother Charlie. Janine, here's what I've learned. The Lord will put you back in the same press and say, you wasted it that time. I'm not going to waste anything. And he's going to squeeze on us again and press us again. Why? Because the Lord wastes nothing from the lives of his children. He's going to get all he can for his honor and glory, even out of the Gethsemane times of life. Lord, we love you. Help us now, we pray. I do ask you, Lord, to encourage the people of God. May they leave tonight here in just a little while, understanding there is purpose to the press. Lord, tonight as we consider all the different burdens and needs and troubles and things that are going on in people's lives and worlds, Lord, we're mindful tonight that our God wastes nothing, that our God gets all he can out of our lives. Lord, tonight, as hard as it is to accept at times, Lord, in light of what's just been taught and declared, Lord, I say, Lord, get all you can out of us. Lord, just send us the strength we need from heaven to make it through, to go a little further day by day, Lord, to see the glory of God and the divine purpose of God wrought about in our life, Lord, so we could worship you as you deserve, to count dear the worship of our God as a sacred thing. Lord, to count, Lord, being used in the work of God, Lord, to be something we're striving to be useful in. Lord, that we would strive this evening in the press to allow you to clean and wash our lives the way you desire. Lord, all that you do, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.